But it feels like in God's sovereignty in this moment that there's a harvest that's come in. And so, yeah, like 3 weeks ago, we had our largest baptism service to date, 12 people.
We got into a conversation about social media, like in person. And within 10 days, he shows up in church. Within about a month, he's given his life to Christ. Within a few months, he's married his girlfriend, who's now his wife. And he starts writing songs, and he's incredibly dyslexic, but he's now written like 1,000 songs to Jesus.
Wow. I believe that with the world here, I believe a day like Pentecost is going to hit this nation, and people from all nations will see the power of God and a Pentecost opportunity kicking in. And we've heard of the silent revival. We're hearing of young people coming to God. I believe that something is happening in our nation.
Probably about 18 months ago, began to realize, oh my goodness, the stories are different. There's more stories of people who have had no church background and are being plucked out of often dark and desperate situations, and their stories are much more touched by the supernatural.
The world's a mess, and the messier the world gets,
yeah,
the more the opportunity for the gospel is. I don't like the messy part, though. I just want the gospel part, but unfortunately, they seem to be correlated.
Hello and welcome to Good News People, a podcast where we talk about the brilliant thing God is doing right now and how we live as good news people in a bad news world. I'm Phil Knox and I'm here with Gavin Calver. We are followers of Jesus, leaders, evangelists, and have been great mates for over 20 years. Gav, what are we exploring today?
We are exploring today the thing we have been longing to see for 20 odd years, the fact that something incredibly exciting is going on at the moment. In this episode, we want to unpack a load of research from the last year in which we've seen a genuine change in the spiritual temperature and atmosphere, a greater openness to the gospel, and an increase in church attendance. We want to tell some stories from what we've seen as we travel the UK, but we're also going to talk a bit about what it means to be a good news person, or to use another word, evangelical. We're going to be recalling memories from the time we broke a world record and much more.
Brilliant. Loads to cover. But before we dive in, one of the main things we're trying to do with this podcast is to tell good news stories. We have got to counteract that narrative from our news feeds. Don't know about you, Gav, but my news feed at the moment, just about the worst it's ever been during my lifetime. So Gav, why don't you get started? Tell us something that you've seen recently that's been a real encouragement to you.
Yeah, I was up in Aberdeen preaching for the weekend. On the Friday night, I was preaching at a youth event. You and I have done a lot of youth events. I reckon I've done over 50 youth events in Scotland in my life. Mm. I've never done one where I felt 5-0 up before I started.
Yeah.
You know, 800 young people in the room. We stopped counting at 100 first-time decisions for Jesus. It was amazing.
Wow.
Over the weekend, the youth worker forwarded me a text he got from a youth group who'd come from 2 hours north of Aberdeen. I didn't think there was such a place.
No, I was going to say.
Yeah. So that was the ocean.
Yeah.
And they'd come down in a minibus with 3 Christians and 9 non-Christians.
Yeah.
They went back in a minibus with 12 Christians, worshipped into the early hours. Yeah. Then the Sunday morning at the same church, I preached, and at the end I went to my EA table. You know, we signed up members. There was a long queue of people wanting to join. What a good day. But next to the queue was an old man in a wheelchair crying. I spoke to him. He said, I've been married over 30 years. My wife's never been a Christian. She's never been interested in Jesus. She never watches the live stream. She never comes to church. But look at this message.
Yeah.
He gives me his phone. And on his phone, there's a text message from his wife that says, when that fella said, stand up if you want to give your life to Jesus, I stood up in our lounge.
Amazing.
Now, we start chatting. We're chatting about this. Then he says, can you shut up now? I'm like, yeah. He says, I need to go home and party with my wife because she's given her life to Jesus. What a weekend that was. Good news weekend, big time.
God's on the move in Scotland.
What about you?
Yeah, I've been really struck recently speaking in 2 churches, I guess at the opposite end of the size spectrum. You know, you and I travel all over the place, lots of different backgrounds and stories. But I was really struck and felt the Lord even speak to me through these 2 different experiences. Because I think sometimes when we've heard reports, as we'll look at later in the episode, on kind of the quiet revival, sometimes the assumption can be it's only in the really big places.
Yeah.
But I felt the Lord really encouraged me that I spoke in a church a few months ago of thousands, you know, one of the biggest churches in the UK, extraordinary, started in a living room in 1989, now is over 3,000 across various congregations on a Sunday. Absolutely extraordinary. In that church, there was a fella who'd turned up a couple of weeks previously because he just felt drawn to church in the morning. He just woke up, I've got to go to church.
Yeah.
And so he kind of Googled churches, found this one, and got an Uber. The Uber cost 60 quid to get to church.
Wow.
He turns up, he gives his life to Jesus, spends 60 quid on the way home. All in all, 120 quid's not bad, is it, for you know, meeting Jesus on a Sunday morning? Quite a good investment. But so that was that Sunday. It was happening there. People were meeting Jesus in a new way, and that church really grew. But then a couple of weeks previously to that, I spoke at this other church, which is near me, not far from my postcode. And this church, the last time I was there was in 2019. And I thought in my humanity, I thought I'm probably not going to come back here again.
Yeah.
There were about 15 people, mostly over 75. And I thought this church is probably not going to be here in a few years' time because they'll have just aged. I got invited back this year and I thought, wow. Turned up on the Sunday morning and this church had more than tripled, more than quadrupled probably. They'd had so many new people, they'd had to knock out the back of their sanctuary.
Amazing.
Put in more chairs.
Amazing.
And it was all ages, it was all backgrounds, it was all stories. There were people who'd come to faith. And I just felt the Lord remind me that this growth that we're seeing in the church is not just the really big church. It's not just a certain style, but actually is all over the place, and we can be really, really encouraged.
That's amazing. Two miracles there. Church has recovered from really struggling, and someone invited you back. Amen. Happy days.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff.
It's an encouragement podcast, isn't it? This one?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, all the time. And by the way, we would love to hear your story of what's taking place where you are. Please do get in touch. You can find either of us really easily on social media or fill in the contact form at goodnewspeople.church. We want to hear as many stories as possible of what the Lord is doing in as many places throughout the UK as we can hear. So, Phil, you're a missiologist.
Mm.
What on earth does that mean?
It's a great title, isn't it? I think I'm not quite sure I made it up, but it's I've got a job title that includes it. Yeah, basically, I explore how people come to faith. So a missiologist is someone who studies mission. And so my job is kind of tracking how people are becoming Christians and trying to, I guess, help the church make the most of those moments. So we invest really well in fruitful pathways.
Well, and you've picked a good time to do this, haven't you? Because you've had an interesting year.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably been pretty busy because lots of people are coming to faith. But also, I've never known the church do so much research. It's incredible. So, and you've been collating a load of this. It'd really help us, I think. If you could, can you give us a whistle-stop tour? Now, please, listeners, do check out the research in full. But could you give us a highlights reel of what's been going on and what we've been learning?
Yeah, so over the last 12 months, there have been a number of different bits of research that seem to paint a picture of the tide having turned. So for most people, during our lifetimes, the graph has been spiraling downwards in terms of both church attendance and openness to the gospel. What's happened over the last 12 months is extraordinary in terms of the figures in both people being open to spirituality, but also in terms of church attendance. So the first piece that kind of really piqued my interest was in January 2025, when there was this piece of research done by One Poll. They interviewed 10,000 people, so it's a really robust study. And they found that just 13% of under 25s say that they don't believe in God. That Gen Z, on this podcast, we are Gen Z, not Gen Z.
Agreed.
Thank you very much. We are a gentleman of a certain age. And what they found that Gen Z were half as likely to be atheists as their parents or grandparents. And I kind of saw that and thought, that is not in line with a lot of the research that we've been seeing for the last few years. That was January. Yeah. Then in March, The Times reported that Bible sales had increased by 87% between 2019 and 2024.
Wow.
So already the Bible is the UK's bestseller every year. But I've been speaking to a few Bible sellers in response to this. And a number of them say, we just are seeing something extraordinary in terms of the number of sales of, and these are physical copies as well in this kind of digital world, but shows, I think, an interest in the Bible, which was extraordinary. So that was March. Then came April. April was like the super month for Christian research. First piece of research I saw came out on the 1st of April, and it was such good news. I sent it back to the person who sent it to me. I thought it was an April Fool. So I genuinely sent
it
back.
Too good.
I thought, this can't possibly be true. And I'm an optimist. I'm a glass half full, cup overflowing optimist. This piece of research talked to students. So students at UK universities. They interviewed 2,000 students, and of all students, not just segmented to Christian students, of all students, 29% said that they read their Bible at least once a week.
Hang on, once a week?
Right.
That's more than in your church, isn't it?
That's why I sent it back. I couldn't believe how good news it was. But then it also segmented the data for non-Christian students and found that 33% of non-Christian students would be up for reading the Bible with a Christian friend if that Christian friend invited them to do so. So if you're a student listening to this and you've got three friends, the chances are one of them, if you said to them, would you be up for reading the Bible with me? They'd be up for doing that. And if you're not a student, the chances are, because of what is happening more widely in the culture, your friends would be more open to reading the Bible than they ever have been.
I mean, this stuff's remarkable. I mean, there's more we'll come on to, but just to stop for a moment, because the one poll at the start about them young people, our kids' age, well, certainly my kids' age, a bit older than yours, but my kids' age are half as likely to be an atheist as my age group.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. It feels like perhaps Gen Z are rejecting the secularism of their Gen X parents in the same way as Gen X parents rejected the Christianity of their boomer parents. Interesting, something going on there. Bible sales, 87% up, unbelievable. But particularly amongst younger people.
Yeah.
And then this research into students. I know the Lord's doing stuff amongst all age groups, but we're youth workers in background. It's remarkable what's happening, particularly in that Gen Z space, isn't it? Like, remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And I would, but I would also add a note of caution at this point, because I think that sometimes the newspaper headlines have said that this is a quiet revival amongst the young, and it is, and some of the big jumps in the bar graphs that we've seen from these pieces of research are amongst young adults, 18 to 24s. But something also is remarkably happening amongst older people as well. And I think we mustn't be, we mustn't just be kind of ageist, if you like, and say, and overemphasize what's happening amongst the young when it's happening amongst the old as well. And there are trickles amongst the, the people kind of our age, for those listening. Gav and I are distinctly middle-aged. For our kind of age group, actually, that's where there is a dip, actually, in church attendance and spiritual openness. So we need to continue to pray. If you're middle-aged and listening to this, that we are still a bit of the missing generation. But at both ends, there's something I think remarkable happening amongst older people as well as younger people. We mustn't miss that in the headlines.
No, definitely. And we want to hear about more research. But certainly when I was a teenager, there was roughly five to seven times as many young women as young men in the church, which was remarkable. And you'd say, as a bit of a joke, if you're a young woman who loved the Lord and met a young man who loved the Lord and had a pulse and was your age, you better marry him. Another one's not coming along. Some
of
this,
what happened to both of us?
we were blessed by the generation we were born into. But what's happening amongst young men and some of the further research is fascinating, isn't it? I wonder if you want to talk about some more of the research that has been coming out.
Yeah, so with reference to both young people and men, the next piece of research that came out a couple of weeks after that Savanza Comrades piece was one that many people, probably the most kind of famous that came out in 2025, called The Quiet Revival. So this was commissioned by the Bible Society, but they got a really credible, robust research organisation called YouGov. YouGov do polls regularly, weekly, on all kinds of matters of public opinion and political polls. And they took a huge sample size. So this was over 13,000 adults.
Wow.
If you don't believe this poll, you'll never believe a political poll again in your life. It was a huge sample size. So this piece of research had a number of headlines, the first of which was that in the last 6 years, 2 million more people are going to church now than were 6 years
ago. Wow, that's loads.
Loads, and shows something of the fact that the tide has turned.
Yeah, come on.
So that's a huge number. And there's been moments of caution attached to this, one of which has been misplaced, because people are saying, well, is this just people returning to church after COVID? And actually, the first sample was taken in 2018. So we're not comparing churches. We're not comparing church attendance to kind of post-pandemic, during the pandemic to post-pandemic. We're taking a sample pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. So not only have people returned, but there are 2 million more people who are saying they're going to church monthly and say that they identify as Christians. So that's really, really significant.
Amazing.
But you are right that another massive headline was around men. So men now outnumber women in church. That's really significant. And amongst young adults, it was 4% of 18 to 24 year olds who said they go to church at least once a month and identify as Christian. That's now 16%. So four times as many young adults are going to church now than were 6 years ago. That is something to really celebrate, but it's also a moment that we need to make the most of.
It's remarkable. I think we also need to acknowledge that the prayer in this nation for people to come to Jesus for the last 20, 30 years has been growing significantly. So it's not like it's just happening in a vacuum, is it? It's, and the church has been staying in the game with people for a long time too.
Yeah, and we need to encourage people in that. So we stand on the shoulders of prayerful giants. Two further bits of research that weren't interesting. In fact, tell you what, let's go for three. So one of those is one that we produced at the Evangelical Alliance. If you're listening, Gavin and I both work at the Evangelical Alliance, and that's the place where we serve Jesus. And one of our passions is trying to help the church in mission and evangelism. So we commissioned our own research, by the way, 18 months before any of this research came out, where we wanted to know how people were coming to faith. So we needed for this study 100 people who'd become Christians as adults in the last 5 years. We began to sniff something was happening when over 250, almost 280 people came forward and said, "We've become Christians as adults in the last 5 years. We want to tell you our story." So that was in terms of scale. Mm. We'll talk maybe later about the kind of how it's happening. Mm. And then the other piece is also encouraging, where Youth for Christ, who we both used to work for, they did a piece of research looking at under 18s. So most of these pieces of research have been for adults. Mm. But Youth for Christ look at the trend for younger. And they found similarly that the heightened interest in prayer, heightened interest in church, and heightened belief in God and Christian practice were as true for teenagers as they were for young adults. All of this paints a really, really encouraging picture. So I think it's one of those where if you just had one piece of research, you might go, maybe that could be an outlier. But you've got this big picture of several bits of research all pointing to something. And then the final piece of research to tell you about was again looked at church attendance and people who identified as a practicing Christian. And that found almost an identical curve to the Quiet Revival. This was done by Whitestone Insight, commissioned by A Passion for Life. Sample size was 2,000 adults. And this was even more extraordinary. It found that 30% of 18 to 24-year-old men said that they were a practicing Christian and had been to church at least once in the last month or been online. 30%.
Amazing.
That's extraordinary. And again, you'd think, whoa, that's an outlier. But when put into the context of all of the research together, it begins to paint a really encouraging picture.
It's incredible. And we wrote the book that this podcast is based on, Good News People, because for the last 18 months or so, we felt that the atmosphere was changing. In fact, I'd like to take this opportunity to publicly thank everyone who spent thousands of pounds on research to validate what otherwise people would have said, you're just too optimistic. Mm. It is a different day. What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I was sat listening to Martin Robinson speak about 15 years ago or so, mm-hmm. and he was asked, when will we tell if the UK is even near to revival or ready for it?
Yeah.
And his answer was, when the secular media start writing about us. Mm. And it's not just been that this research has happened. It's been that newspapers and news streams have been full of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been incredible to see. I remember when the Bournemouth baptisms happened with our friend Pete Baker.
Yeah.
And last year they had maybe 20. This year there were 82. It was all over the BBC.
And really positive.
Yeah, amazing story. And it's the testimony of someone literally giving their testimony on the BBC News. Or the Sunday Express. I have to confess, I've never bought that till I saw it with this headline. Then I bought it because I thought, I need to have that.
Yeah.
Said the front page that global crises were turning Gen Z towards the church. Now, don't get me wrong, we don't want the global crises. But the fact that's the front page of the Sunday Express. In the Times newspaper, the Times has probably covered this stuff more regularly than anyone.
Mm.
And there was the article on full-fat Christianity. Yeah. There was the article you said before on Gen X versus Gen Z. It was the Times that reported most loudly about the increase in Bible sales.
Yeah.
I mean, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. And I think what I've noticed as well, watching sports stuff, when Christian athletes talk about their faith. Whereas I would say probably 5-10 years ago, that was kind of airbrushed.
Yeah.
Whereas I was watching something recently where a Christian athlete said it was answer to prayer that they performed so well and Jesus was the center of their life. And he went back to studio and they referred to it. And again, that's a really subtle change, I think, in the way that people are viewing faith and looking at spiritual openness. Whereas previously, they'd have just kind of had an awkward moment where they'd gone, let's not talk about the bit they talked about, their faith and prayer.
Yeah.
Gavin, people's reaction to this is often interesting as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I guess even Christians, I've heard and seen articles written by people saying this can't possibly be true.
Yeah.
Where there's others who say this is totally what we're seeing. And there's a lot who express, you know, not necessarily cynicism, but caution. I think that's okay, isn't it? But also a lot of people say, do you know what? It can't be happening because it's not happening in my church. How do we speak into that space?
Yeah, I think it's challenging. I've sat with many leaders who, don't get me wrong, they're delighted it's happening,
yeah,
but they're desperate for it to happen where they are. And that's totally understandable. I also think I meet quite a lot of people who want to tell you all the reasons why these things can't be true,
yeah,
which is where the research element helps. Because story is one thing, but the research and the story together,
yeah,
bring something beautiful. And I think we need to be careful. As a leader, I don't want to be either, but if I had to be gullible or cynical, I'd always go for gullible.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the person who's always saying, this can't be true, this can't be happening. But the level of research and story and fact. So the Bible says is not, that's not a story, that's a fact.
Mm.
The research is factual on how people feel. And the numbers as we go around the country are remarkable. I mean, I've seen more people become Christians through my own personal ministry this year than any year I've been alive, yeah, by a long way.
Yeah.
And what I'd say to anyone who's not seeing it yet is let's be praying for openness in our space, and let's be doing all we can to release our people. This is a season when we need to release everyone to play. And I think as leaders, if leaders listen to this, if you can release your whole congregation, the likelihood that some of the people they're encountering are going to be in a more open space, it's almost impossible to think that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
So I think we need to release our people. We need to rejoice when it's happening for others. But it's okay to long for it in your space, yeah, and for your prayers in the morning to start with. Lord, we are grateful for the quiet revival everywhere else, but please in this postcode too.
I heard something recently that was profoundly helpful in just in terms of our voice and our posture in this moment. Mm. So they were reflecting on the kind of new atheism movement kind of 15 years ago. Mm. Do you remember all the kind of the God delusion,
yeah,
and the I think they were called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Fun times.
Fun times. It's certainly not that day.
No.
But they said one of the downfalls in that movement was the kind of almost like triumphalist approach of the new atheism movement.
Mm.
And the kind of, you know, the almost like the we've won moment. Yeah. I thought it was a really helpful, sobering posture for where we are at the moment. And I think even in terms of how we talk about it, I think I agree with you. I think I want to stray away from kind of being cynical, because I think we believe in a Jesus who knows his way out of the grave. And I love that quote from G.K. Chesterton. He says, yeah, five times in history the church went to the dogs, and each time it was the dogs that died.
Yeah, come on.
And we believe in our lifetime we might see God do something amazing.
Mm.
But at the same time, I think we also, you know, need to be wary of that kind of, aren't we brilliant? We've won, we've solved it. You know, I think some of that posture and the humility alongside the celebrating and being encouraged by what's going on is also, yeah, going to be really important for us as a church at this time.
Yeah, I think we've got to read the signs of the times. So actually, I don't think we're anywhere near revival. Yeah. I think we're living in an awakening and an openness we've not seen.
Yeah.
For me, winter's over, spring is here, but summer's not here.
Mm.
So you can't. There should be no danger of vitriol or triumphalism when we're not even in summer,
yeah,
but spring is here.
Yeah.
I think the other challenge we've got to be aware of, we've been so desperate for the tide to have turned.
Mm.
We are so used to feeling like we're 10-0 down. You know, to suddenly feel like the tide has turned, that's fabulous, but that's the start.
Yeah.
It has turned and it is continuing to turn. So we're at the start of something here, not the end of something. But I would want to encourage anyone listening to this, winter is over.
Yeah.
Do not live by yesterday's rules in today's world.
Yeah.
If you've prayed for 20 years for a prodigal and not seen anything, but you've not prayed for a year, start again. It's a new season. If you've asked your neighbor five times to thank a church, but not in this year or recent times, do it again. It's a new season. You know, do not live by yesterday's rules in today's world. But don't start thinking as well. It's not like the whole nation is like, I desperately want to become a Christian. And also, there needs to be a sense of caution to some level. People are looking for a firm foundation, somewhere to put their feet, and for hope in a hopeless narrative.
Yeah.
If the church doesn't step into that gap, other things and people will. So also what we're living in now is not necessarily victory, but an open goal of an opportunity,
yeah,
to step into our God-given mandate as seeking to fulfill the Great Commission in the UK. And it's easier now. And witnessing's a muscle. And most of us have got flabby. You build muscles when it's easy. You and I, Noxie, no chance of getting six packs these days. We're far too old. But when you're 16 years old, not a bad opportunity.
Yeah.
The time to build muscle is when it's easier. Witnessing's a muscle. Let's build witnessing muscles when the ground's more open. And then if it gets hard again, we'll have developed habits as well that will serve the church in a different season.
So the last paragraph, you've used the phrase, new season, open goal and 10-0 down.
Come on, football it is.
And if you listen to this podcast over the next few episodes, there'll be the odd footballing analogy. And I just want to use it here really, Gav, because I think lots of people have asked me, how does this feel?
Yeah.
And I think for me, it you and I have both played together as part of football teams, which have lost every week, and other football teams that have won every week.
Mm.
And I think in terms of how it feels like we're still playing the same game. Yeah. You know, I don't know about you. I don't see the UK church having suddenly found the winning formula to start seeing this growth. But I think there's something about it now feels like the wind is with us rather than against. It feels like we're playing for the winning team. We thought it'd be fun to segue, therefore, into this nice little experience that we shared and share with you. A moment of our friendship that goes a few years back, where once upon a time we broke a world record for the world's longest five-side football match together. For those listening, thinking we're bragging, we're not bragging, because we were both on the same team and our team lost by over 300 goals. Gav, I'd just like to ask you at this point, what are your memories from that 48 hours?
Yeah, well, firstly, we did lose by 300 goals, but we lost 900 and something to 600 and something. Over 48 hours, that's 3-2.
3-2.
So let's not make this sound like it was a disaster.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I have terrible memories of it and joyful memories. It was an amazing experience. It was horrendous. It was painful. I remember people with broomsticks behind the goalkeepers at night to poke them, because if they fell asleep, the game was over. I remember us doing other things whilst playing football during the night and the pain. But we raised over £50,000 for Youth for Christ.
Yeah.
We brought some attention to the need of young people to hear about Jesus. And we also did break a Guinness World Record. That may have been broken since, but it can never be taken off us that we were world record holders. What about you?
I think the lack of sleep does something terrible to your system.
Of course.
And I remember that we got little breaks for naps, and I remember being woken up from those naps thinking it, having been asleep for, I don't know, 45 minutes with your feet sticking out the tent, so you'd still in the camera shot because you weren't allowed to leave the area, and then kind of me not believing that I'd been asleep 45 minutes, it felt like 15 seconds. And then also being overly emotional. I remember when my family came to see me and I was in goal, stood there like shivering in the night, and my family turned up and I just burst into tears for no apparent reason apart from the fact that I was overtired and had been playing football for 36 hours. So yeah, I my knees have not quite been the same since, neither has my ego, having lost 300 goals. But it was a great moment, and this is a moment in which it feels like we're playing for the winning team. Enough on football for now. Another associated kind of encouragement to the growth we've seen has been growth. You and I both work at the Evangelical Alliance, and we've seen that firsthand. We both served at EA. Gav, tell us a bit about the Evangelical Alliance, I guess what membership means, but also how that's been growing and how you see that alongside the growth that we're seeing in the church.
Yeah, well, the Evangelical Alliance is 180 years old this year. In that whole time, we've existed for two things: unite the church and reaching the lost in every corner of the UK, and give the church a clear, effective, united and confident voice within the corridors of power. Now, we say to everyone, go deep in your postcode, love your place. We won't get in your way locally, but be connected to the national story. We're here to serve our church members, our organisational members and our individual members. And we are here to speak up on the challenging issues. What's been amazing is in the last few years, we've seen our personal membership double from 14,000 to over 28,000 members. That creates access to the corridors of power, where we've been able to meet with Prime Ministers, members of Parliament, all kinds of other people, and speak up on the key issues that matter to evangelicals. How we are good news people, how we can continue to proclaim the good news, what some of the challenging moral issues are of our day as well. And what's really encouraging to us is we're seeing this growth at a time when people are telling us that, you know, Orthodox evangelical Christianity must be on the wane because progressive liberalism must be the future. Actually, we're finding the opposite.
Yeah.
The churches growing in this nation are those standing firm theologically and going for it wholeheartedly with the gospel. And if you're a Christian who believes that is the way forward, if you're a church who believes that, we need you as part of us. There's over 18 networks, denominations or streams within our membership. And we want to come together for three things. We want to be united that the world will be drawn towards Jesus, as Jesus prays in John 17. We want our voice to be heard in the corridors of power. The bigger the membership, the louder the voice. And we want to together make Jesus known.
Yeah. And I think as I see people want to say, we want a firm foundation on which to stand. I think there's something about the world at the moment that feels very unstable. And I think especially when we say we are good news people who worship a good news God and standing on the firm foundation of scripture, when the kind of ground around us shakes and wobbles, I think it is really powerful. And one of the reasons we've seen A, growth in the church, but B, the kind of growth that you've just described within the Evangelical Alliance membership. But Gav, for those who might be unfamiliar with the word evangelical, we're really passionate about talking about evangelical in terms of being good news people. Can you give us specifically around what it is specifically about being an evangelical and what that framework means and how that gives us that firm foundation on which to stand?
Yeah, very happy to. I mean, for a start, people often confuse evangelical and evangelistic.
Yeah.
Now, they're both from the same root, evangel, good news.
Yeah, they say things like, is it an evangelical service? Yeah. By what they mean, will it be a gospel appeal?
Yeah, but sure. But it's from the same root of good news. Yeah. So we are good news. But there's a guy called David Bevington who's come up with the quadrilateral, which is four things that define what an evangelical is.
Yeah.
Now, I was explaining this once in a crowd not long ago in Scotland when I realised that on the third row was David Bevington.
He was there.
Yeah. He didn't give much away until at the end he told me I'd done it pretty well. So that was fine. But basically, there are four components to being an evangelical Christian. Yeah. One, we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. Stop changing scripture to baptise culture and start changing culture with the truth on the pages of the word of God.
Yeah.
Secondly, we believe the death and resurrection of Jesus is the single most important thing in human history. Thirdly, we believe in the need for conversion. You don't come to faith by osmosis. You get on your knees and you meet your Saviour.
Yeah.
And fourthly, we believe in being active in a world, making a world more like the kingdom. That's why evangelicals provided education before others. In recent years, have come up with and delivered Christians Against Poverty, street pastors, food banks. And I also think there's one other thing for you and I would say that it means to be an evangelical, which is an acceptance no one part of the church changes the UK on its own. We go to different churches all the time, and there's over 80 network streams or denominations within our membership at the Evangelical Alliance. I love every single one of those streams, but we would change the UK by working together, not working in isolation. But those four things, Bible's the inspired word of God, death and resurrection of Jesus is essential, the need for conversion, and the desire to be active in the world, making the world more like the kingdom. That's what it means to be an evangelical, a good news person.
Really, really helpful. And I think, you know, that what you've just described, I think when I first came across that model of what's most important, that those emphases that you've talked about, Bible, Jesus, conversion, activism, the Bevington quadrilateral, I felt like I instinctively knew them and it felt like, yeah, that's who I am. But I think the framework gave me a kind of way of articulating those values and understanding kind of, I guess, where I get my theology from. You know, we can get our theology from all kinds of places. Something about actually saying we're Bible people, we're Jesus people, we're conversion people, and we're activism people. I think that was really helpful in just kind of crystallizing that for me. So we're going to try and bring these two conversations together now. We've talked about God on the move in the UK. We've talked about what it is to be a good news person.
Yeah.
How does being a good news person or an evangelical help us respond to this climate in which we find ourselves?
Well, I think we need to recapture what it means to be an evangelical as we look at our world.
Yeah.
So the theologian Michael Bird from Australia said, evangelicalism is, above all, historic Christian orthodoxy combined with energetic fervor to promote the gospel.
Mm.
Evangelicalism, broadly defined, has always been concerned with theological, spiritual, missional renewal through the gospel. So the moment we're living in now is the answer to the prayers that evangelicals have been praying every day for as long as we've been around.
Yeah.
So I think the two come together because we hold firm to orthodoxy but go for it with the gospel. Mm. And right now the opportunities in the culture mean that activity will be far more fruitful. That doesn't mean in other seasons we haven't still done that and it's not been as fruitful, but now the openness is there. We say at the EA, what time is it for the church? It's time to hold our nerve theologically without compromise and go for it wholeheartedly in sharing the gospel. Yeah. That's where the two come together for me. What about you?
Yeah, really good. I think just as you were talking about that Michael Bird quote, just say it again. So we've got historic Christian orthodoxy on one hand and energetic fervor to promote the gospel. Mm. Evangelical, to be an evangelical, to be a good news person, brings those two together. And I think we often see people who are either passionate about one or the other.
Yeah.
Actually, to be a good news person is those together. And I think that kind of energetic fervor to think, I just want everyone in my life who doesn't yet know Jesus to know Jesus. I think for me, that's the bit that kind of resonates. I became a Christian when I was 6 years old. All I've ever wanted is to see as many people as possible come to know Jesus and know the life and the hope and the purpose and the meaning that I have in Jesus. So I think that's really, really key. I think that that it's also a discipleship question. I think there's something about the kind of the evangelical soil. When people come to faith, you and I see people come to faith all the time.
Yeah.
Having a firm foundation, deep roots in the right place is really, really important. And so Jesus, I think, talks about this in terms of the parable of the sower. Mm. But also, I love the moment in John 4 when the woman at the well becomes a Christian. And her immediate response you know, undoubtedly is to be rooted. But also she goes back to her town, and that town is transformed because of her witness. Arguably, she's the first evangelist.
Yeah.
Really, 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 really exciting. So over the coming weeks on the podcast, we are going to be exploring those themes. We've put this together with Premier because we want to explore specifically about what it means to be a good news person. But also we want to continually encourage people with a bigger, better story of what God's doing across the UK than you might get in your newsfeed.
Yeah, come on. And we want people to have the right motivation. You've just mentioned the woman at the well. Do you know what I love about that story? Jesus starts the conversation, "Can I have a drink, please?" The conversation ends with her becoming a Christian and her whole village being brought to Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus doesn't get his drink.
Yeah.
So we need to sometimes say, is our motivation great enough to put down what we need and feel we want for the sake of others to encounter the King?
Yeah. So we want to encourage you, wherever you're listening to this, whatever you're doing, however you've come across Good News People, to keep listening. Gav and I will be bringing in guests over the next few episodes to really unpack some of how we feel and how we believe God's leading us to be Good News People and what that posture looks like over the coming weeks. So we'd love you to continue listening in. Gav, you mentioned just a bit earlier about membership, how you've seen the Evangelical Alliance membership grow. How can people join if they've not joined yet?
Yeah, if you've never joined, please do consider joining eauk.org/join us. Sign up as an individual, or perhaps ask your church if they're a member of the Evangelical Alliance. We are stronger together. We'll have a bigger impact on the nation together, and we will make Jesus known more effectively together. We would also love you to get in touch with us. Send us your good news stories of what God is doing in your town, your workplace, your church, or if you've got a question for us, I'd love Noxie to try and answer those. What have you got coming up?
So coming up, I've got a couple of really exciting things. First of all, speaking at a conference over the next few days where we're bringing together people who all run all the kind of the big Christian residential centres in the UK. I don't know about you, but for me, I've had profound experiences going to weeks away, going to weekends away. They have a network.
Yeah.
So I'm really encouraged about telling a bit of the story of Good News People, actually, to them over the next few days. Also down in Portsmouth at the weekend, at this amazing church that's seen extraordinary growth over the last few years. Really excited about preaching there and playing a little bit of my part in their story. Gav, how about you?
I've got a couple of meetings in Westminster.
Come on.
Do pray for those. And then at the weekend, I'm looking forward to being up in Malvern. You would say down in Malvern, but depending where you start, up in Malvern, I'm preaching at a church there. I'm doing a leaders gathering in the afternoon and then a bit of a churches together community-wide thing in the evening. So that should be really fun. And I'm hoping the weather's kind enough to us that we can fulfill all of our obligations in these different times of year.
So look forward to hearing about how those have gone. Listen out in that next episode to hear more good news stories of how Jesus is changing lives across the UK. And we're going to explore a really important posture. We're going to be talking next week about how we are brave and kind in this exciting moment for the church.
Thanks so much for listening to Good News People. If you get a chance, please share a link with friends and family. Maybe write a review on wherever you get your podcasts from. We're a brand new podcast getting started, and we need your help to get the word out there. Let's change the narrative and do all we can to be good news people in a bad news world.
Thanks a lot. God bless you, and see you next time.